They are set to tee it up at Torrey Pines, 121st U.S. Open, just the second time the venue has hosted a major, last one won by Tiger in that epic battle with Rocco. Our guest always keeps us wired in. He hosts the Tiger Woods podcast as part of the Believe Podcast Network. His Twitter handle is at MrRogers99. Cam Rogers, always appreciate the time. How's it going with you?
What's going on, Steve? Happy early summer, if you will. Really excited for this week. It's going to be a lot of fun. Plenty of storylines. Phil, Brooks versus Bryson, and of course, Torrey Pines, which should be a beast this week.
You know, you heard what I just played from Greeny, and he said the USGA kind of blew an opportunity to generate some buzz. You know, tradition means a lot, but they also moved the PGA to May, and I get the reigning champ gets paired with the USAM champ. You think maybe they blew a chance to kind of generate some real intrigue here by not teaming up DeChambeau and Koepka?
100%. I mean, this was served on a silver platter for the USGA. We're talking about a true public dislike between two golfers on the PGA Tour, something I honestly could say we have never seen. Sure, we had Phil and Tiger in the early 2000s, but they only like exchanged a few stoic glares, and that was really it, right? We didn't have social media back then to sort of amp things up, so when the whole video leaked out, it was very clear that Brooks doesn't like Bryson, and so the USGA typically likes to have their fun with the pairings, and clearly they didn't want that much fun. Now, there was this whole story earlier today, Steve, about apparently the USGA asked Bryson if he'd be okay with being paired up with Brooks, and Bryson rejected it, and then Bryson's agent came out and said that it's 100% completely false. Who really knows? It's a he said situation at this point. But yeah, I am really disappointed. I think it would have been a lot of fun to have Brooks and Bryson and whomever else it was going to be, maybe even a Patrick Reed, another guy who's not as liked on the PGA Tour. So it is unfortunate, but hey, there's still a shot for maybe Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, could have been the terrible trio. You know, sometimes timing and circumstance lend a hand. We know Phil won the PGA, proves he's still capable. All golf fans know that our Open has been his white whale. Torrey Pines, right. You know, when Tiger won, he was 18th. Phil has won this regular tour event, the Farmers, twice in his career. So you add all that up, just how intriguing is the storyline of Phil chasing the career slam, in essence, in his backyard?
Yeah, it is the storyline of the week, and who would have thought that would be the case going into this U.S. Open, because I gave him zero shot whatsoever at the PGA Championship. I am humble enough to admit that. And lo and behold, he gets it done on the longest course in major championship history. So everything I'm about to say, Steve, could be a moot point. Heck, he could go out there and win it at Torrey. But here's the deal. Only one top 10 in his last 12 starts at Torrey Pines. Really has done nothing at the U.S. Open since 2013 at Marion. And for context, that was shortly after my high school graduation. So it has been some time since the last time Phil Mickelson was a contender at the U.S. Open. And then just to wrap that up, honestly, he's going to be hacking it out of that thick, luscious Kikuyu rough, all right, which is different from Kiawah Island, which is a little more forgiving off the tee because it's a links-style course, right? No, we're back to a typical American-style tree-lined golf course this week at Torrey Pines. I know Phil knows it like the back of his hand, but here's the reality of the situation. If you can't hack it out of that rough at age 50, you know, I think you're really going to struggle regardless of how good your short game is this week.
I got to love the Cam Rogers timeline, high school 2013. Well, I could say my timeline, Jack won his last British Open when I graduated high school in 1978. So just
there you go.
For perspective, we continue with Cam Rogers of the Believe Podcast Network. You mentioned Patrick Reed. I wanted to talk about him. Obviously, he's an enigma, but he won the Farmers at Torrey in late January by 5. No, he was top 20 at the PGA, top 5 last time out at the Memorial. Dare I say, what is your read this week on Reed?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Patrick Reed is one of those anomalies in that he is not an elite ball striker at all. Really not even close. He's a short game magician, the ultimate grinder, and he's a big game hunter. Has it been worse than 17th in his last six majors? You mentioned it, won the Farmers back in January. I will caution your listeners that that version of Torrey Pines was a lot different as compared to this week, but he is a fantastic putter on POA grass greens. He's top two in this field. I think that is going to go a long way. A, because these POA greens are really tricky to read, and then B, if you're scrambling around these greens, the Kikuyu grass can really grab onto your golf club. So I think Patrick Reed is somebody who can really thrive at this tournament. He's on my short list of guys who have legitimate win equity this week, as they say in the betting world. So if you are going to cash a ticket on a player out there, Patrick Reed could make some sense to get it done on Sunday evening.
We could have had Matsuyama in the Masters at 40-1 and Phil in the PGA at 200-1, and we could be having this conversation at a suite in Vegas. Anyway, Tony Finau, who has had a top five at every major, still looking for a first, and he's only got the one PGA Tour win. He was second to Reed at that Farmers. How legit do you think his shot is to be one of those guys who break through and catch that first Grand Slam win?
Yeah, you know, it's always a cautionary tale when you're picking Tony Finau to win any tournament, let alone the U.S. Open. But, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. He has been there, done that at major championships, aside from winning one, has nine of top 10s in majors since the beginning of the 2018 campaign, ridiculous 50% top 10 rate in his 20 career major championship starts. So you can make the argument that he is built for these type of events. And one big thing I'm looking at this week, strength off the tee. And by that, I mean, you don't necessarily have to hit it like a million miles, but you have to have strength out of this rough. And for Tony Finau, he has it. He has the compression ability, the lag with his golf swing. Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, two other guys that can do that as well. In fact, Bryson put it on display, if you will, at the last U.S. Open. So you have to be able to hack it out of this thick grass. And for Tony Finau, he'll be using 9 irons and 8 irons, as opposed to, say, a Colin Morikawa, who will be using 4 irons and 5 irons, which are a lot harder to hit out of this rough. So I like Tony Finau's chances this week. If I'm placing a bet on him, it's not to win outright. I actually like him for a top 10. I think that's good value, so he should play well here at Torrey.
Back in 2015, Jordan Spieth followed up his Masters win, took the U.S. Open in our neck of the woods at Chambers Bay up in Washington. But since this event has not been his strength, but since April, he won the Valero, third at the Masters, second at the Schwab. What makes you think that maybe Spieth might find his way back to the U.S. Open winner circle?
Yeah, you know, I think Jordan Spieth has been one of the best players on the PGA Tour going back to the beginning of the calendar year. I mean, in terms of strokes gained total, he is top three, if not number one on the list. I'm not sure what the latest update is there, but he's been great. And the only caution I have about Spieth is, you named it, his record here at the U.S. Open after Chambers Bay has not been very good. And honestly, he shouldn't have won at Chambers Bay. It should have been Dustin's tournament, right? But with that said, Chambers Bay was more of a linked style course where it was more of a British Open setup. This week, it's a typical American style setup, like I mentioned earlier, and I don't think that is going to set up well for Jordan Spieth. A, because he sprays it off the tee. B, because he can't get it out of this rough. He doesn't have the swing speed for it. And then C, it's just going to be a chip off for him and scrambling, and maybe he has the magic to figure it out. Phil did it 6 times as a runner up. But it's going to be a really uphill climb for him in terms of the betting market and daily fantasy. You're not going to get much value out of him. And at the end of the day, you have to take a stand on these favorites. I'm taking the stand that Jordan Spieth will not play well this week. Talk to me at the British Open, though. I might like him then.
All right. A few final thoughts for Cam Rogers, the Believe Podcast Network. Let's get to Brooks Koepka, who missed the cut at the Farmers. We know the whole story, knee surgery in March, missed the Masters cut, then almost won the PGA, missed the cut last week. But any way to rule out a guy who in the last three Opens has been 1-1-2?
He laughed his way to a second-place finish at the PGA Championship with zero form whatsoever. So that just proves to me, I don't care if he misses the cut at the Palmetto Championship, which will never happen again on the PGA Tour. It was a one-year fill-in. He doesn't care about those events. He cares about the majors. He's been absolutely elite at the U.S. Open. You just mentioned his record there. I like his chances a lot. I like him for a top five this week. heck, he can certainly win it, but I think he's going to play well irregardless. He'll be inside that top 10 come Sunday evening for sure. He's got the strength off the tee. The iron game is really starting to come around too, which is really encouraging for me. And he can get pretty hot with his chipping game too. So for Brooks Koepka, I think he most certainly will be a factor this week, and I will think and expect that he will get the better of Bryson DeChambeau in terms of finishing position this week.
All right, one leg up. Tommy Fleetwood, the pride of Southport, England. He's never won a major, but he's been close at our Open twice. He was fourth to Koepka, second by a shot at Shinnecock the next year, but the last two right. way out. Real rough weekend at the Masters. Missed the cut at the PGA. Although the odds makers at 50-1 have him, you know, inside the top 25. What kind of shot do you give Fleetwood, who I've always seen as one of those guys who I think his time is going to come and he's going to get a major?
Yeah, absolutely. He's not getting a lot of buzz this week. He is inside my top 10 in terms of the power rankings. You mentioned his record at the U.S. Open. He's been a factor before. The only thing is, I can't throw amazing stats at you, Steve, in terms of his great iron game or driver game or short game or what have you. I just think he has that grinder mentality that you need this week. This is not going to be a birdie fest, okay? So you want to look at the guys who have surfaced at these difficult golf courses. I'll rattle off a couple of other names. Shane Lowry, Matt Fitzpatrick. You'll notice that these guys are across the pond players, right? These are grinders. So I think Tommy Fleetwood could surprise some people this week. I don't like him for winning the U.S. Open trophy come Sunday evening, but I do like him to play well, perhaps inside the top 10, certainly inside the top 15. You know, he's sort of just flying under the radar. He's playing a lot more golf recently, which is good news. I want him to get those reps in before a big-time major championship like this one. So he's a quiet guy, but somebody who could really burst on the leaderboard this week. He's got a high upside, if you will.
And lastly, you mentioned a couple of other Euros, and I've asked you about a few specific players. So who might be a couple more I've left out that you think come Sunday might have a shot at the trophy?
Yeah, I like Adam Scott as a guy who can certainly make some noise. He's the ultimate cut maker, 15-16 so far on the year. Has a fantastic record at Torrey Pines. I challenge everybody to go check it out. He's played well here. Top 20 on tour, by the way, sneakily in driving distance. So he can poke it out there. Adam Scott, a guy to watch. Victor Hovland has been in the top 40 in his last six major starts. He's a young guy, has that major championship type of game, gaining strokes across each major category and over his last five events. So Victor Hovland is somebody that I'm staring at as well. So I think those are guys that you guys could certainly key in on out there if you're looking to play some bets. You know, the Euros that have played well here in the States, but can certainly grind it out at these difficult conditions. That will be the case this week, all right? It will be grinded out. I think the winning score could honestly be two under par, something around there.
All right. Folks, he's Cam Rogers, always generous with his time and information. He does the Tiger Woods podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. On Twitter, at Believe Podcast. His personal handle is at Mr. Rogers 99. Hey, Cam, thanks a million. Great stuff as usual. Enjoy the Open. Tend to your doggy, and we'll talk next month before the British.
I'm getting right after it. Thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate you.
All right, take it easy.